Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and some of the things that marked her. And believe it or not, I have been thinking about this message for 20 years. Isn't that amazing? 20 years. I mean, I was in Bible college. I remember I was in college when parts of this message came to me, and I'm like, someday I want to, around Christmas time, preach a message on having a Mary heart. And for 20, maybe 22 years, I mean, a long time, it just hasn't really been the right moment. And so, but I feel like it is now. And so the Lord's got a word that's been simmering in his heart forever, but in my heart for about 20 years for you guys. And I want us to look at the life of Mary. You know, there's a lot of different ways to study the word, okay? You can study it by books of the Bible. You could study it by themes, like the theme of redemption or the cross or forgiveness. But another way to study it is by taking a person in the Bible and studying what can you learn from that person's story. I love doing that. It's really one of my favorites, you know, taking like Daniel. Just studying the life of Daniel, every scripture that has Daniel in it, and just asking the Lord to teach you from his life, well, how he's working, how he interacted with the Lord, or Joseph. I brought you a message maybe a year ago on the life of Barnabas, because that was one of the things, I just loved Barnabas, so I studied all the scriptures on Barnabas. Anyway, so I've been doing that for Mary for a little while here, and she's amazing. I don't know why we don't talk about her more. I actually think maybe it's a reaction to, you know, maybe other churches' doctrines about Mary, that we don't actually ever focus on her very much. But she's a fantastic example of a super godly person. And the number one attribute that I saw in her life is that she was called by the angel multiple times, highly favored. Now, what makes you highly favored? Now, I get that there's a sovereignty about things. Like, we could say, well, Mary, you know, she was just chosen by God. God uses who he chooses. That's true. He's sovereign. He uses who he chooses, right? Whoever he chooses, he can use. But you know what? There's something else, though. He chooses people who have positioned their lives in certain ways to do certain tasks. Yes. Don't we see that in the Word? Absolutely. And so I said, okay, Lord, you know what? What made Mary so... What made you love her so much and like literally like drew your eye to her that you chose to give your son to her, entrust your son to her to raise? How many of you who have babies or toddlers, if you're going to write out your will, you would choose to will your baby to a 15-year-old? Nobody, right? I mean, the Jewish women got married between 14 and 16. Mary was probably around the 15 years of age. If you were 20, you were an old maid. They didn't live that long back then. They had to start really early if they're going to have kids and a family. I mean, they were young. So, I mean, as soon as you became a woman, entered into womanhood, you were eligible to be married. And so she was probably 15 years old, maybe 14. That's just hard for me to wrap my mind around, though. So I like to say 15. Possibly 16, which would make her a little bit on the more mature side. Would you will your children to any 16-year-old you know? Malachi is about the most mature 17-year-old I know. I love him. I know he would be capable of it, but I wouldn't really think about telling you, recommending that you will your baby to him. It's a big deal what God was doing when he put this plan into place and Christ took on human form. He was a real baby. I mean, he was a real infant. Like he pooped his diaper and started to cry. That's how he told his mom. Wah, wah. You know, he wasn't sinning when he was doing that. He was communicating like all babies, right? And when he was hungry, he'd let her know he needed a nurse. Wah! He was a real child, a real human. A real human baby. Can you imagine raising God? The responsibility you would feel? Like, what if you just weren't paying attention? How many moms haven't paid attention for 5 minutes and your kid's gotten into something crazy? You're like, oh, great, I almost killed God. No, I mean, we know there were some angels watching over him. The plan of God was going to take place. But Mary didn't know the end of the story, right? I mean, so Mary was amazing. So I was like, Lord, what was it about her life that you called her highly favored? Highly favored, because she was scared out of her mind when the angel showed up in his glory. And she was like any of us would. She was scared. And he says, no, Mary, you are highly favored. He said it multiple times. And so I started looking through the Bible at other people that God called highly favored. It's not that many, actually. But a few that really stood out to me was Daniel and Samuel. Daniel was called highly favored also by an angel of the Lord. Daniel was highly favored because he was fully consecrated to God and lived a pure and dedicated life. Samuel was also called highly favored at a very young age even. And the reason was because all the priests had entered into sin, and little Samuel was being raised in the house of the Lord. He refused to enter into sin. He loved the Lord. He was pure. He was surrendered to God and wholly dedicated. That's the kind of person that the angels show up to and say, highly favored. So we know that Mary, even at age 15, had cultivated such a depth of love for her God, such a depth of character. This is a message for every teenager in here. Your young years, they are not throwaway years. God is looking at the character that you are developing. He's looking at your love for the Lord. Will you grow in maturity in that love? Of course. But are you being wholehearted right now? There's no season of our life that's just a throwaway season. 10, 11, 12, God's watching you. And something happened in Mary in the area of purity, holiness, and dedication to the Lord that by the time she was 15, angels appeared to her and said, highly favored one. We have an assignment that's only ever going to be given to one person on the face of the earth. And you've been chosen. Whoa. Let's read Luke 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. Here it is again. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Right there, every Jewish girl knew exactly what the angel was saying. God's going to give me a king in my womb. She was a nobody from Nowheresville, made Huron look famous in the world. Whoa. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. And this is Mary's answer. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be to me fulfilled. Then the angel left her. So the first thing I want us to see from her life is that Mary was highly favored. She was highly favored because she was separate, dedicated to the Lord. Not because she was, say, a saint, as we would call a saint. Not a deity. But because she had made choices at some point in her life, choices to be separate, to be consecrated, to have a heart of love. And God loves us all no matter what, but the cultivation of our godly character and our inner life with God is what makes us trustworthy to receive assignments. He loves us all, but he doesn't give us all the same assignment, right? Every assignment's important. Small ones, big ones, they're all important. But if you want to be used in a significant way, have a significant dedication to the Lord. If you want to be used to change the world, be pure and holy in your inner life no matter what, no matter who's looking. When the Lord is looking to hand out assignments on the earth, when he's looking who's trustworthy right now with just managing their heart. When nobody's looking, who's honest? When nobody's looking, who's truthful? When no one is praising you, who's still reading their Bible and just wanting to spend time with me? That's what he's looking for when he's handing out assignments. Here's a good scripture on favor. You want to be one that's highly favored, right? Proverbs 3:3-4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. I'm just going to keep moving because I don't want to go too late. In case one of you needs to use the bathroom because it's not available. Sorry. Oh, God's so good. I'm not going to go there. Phew. Another amazing thing about Mary, just looking at her life, is that at age 15, 16, she had already found her identity in God. Wow. I mean, how many of us in adulthood are still like discovering that our identity is all in the Lord, right? Our identity is in Christ. At whatever age she was, as 14, 15, 16-year-old, she already knew her identity was rooted in her relationship with God. And we know this by the way she responded to the angel. After the angel proclaimed this impossible thing, crazy thing was going to happen to her. She was going to become pregnant without ever having done the deed that causes you to get pregnant. That has never happened. Well, through we all do all kinds of scientific things now, in vitro and all kinds of crazy things, but it was impossible. And this is her answer. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said come to true about me. Her response gave away her true identity. If you say, God, that this is what you have for me, I'm your servant. I'm not in charge here. I am your maidservant. I am yours. I just submit to your plan because I belong to you. And at this young age, she'd already cultivated this understanding of who she belonged to and her identity. This is so powerful for us. When we know who we belong to, when we know who we are, it will help us say yes to everything God brings our way. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. You belong to Jesus. You can trust your daddy, right? Who are you? Are you 100% responsible for your own outcome in life? Or do you belong to someone? If you know who you belong to, if you know who you are, then you can accept his assignments with joy instead of fear. Which leads me to number three. Mary actually was walking in a stunning level of surrender. Of surrender to God. It was stunning. And I have this on your sheet too. And an unprecedented level of faith and trust. I can't, when the angel told her, you, Mary, as a little teenage girl, living Nazareth, will become pregnant. She knew that under the law, she must be stoned, literally put to death, because no one is going to believe her that God is the daddy. I mean, what she was saying yes to in that moment, she was not ignorant. She was even a mediocre Jewish girl. She knew that part of the law. You know what? There's also a good chance she saw it. there's a good chance somebody gotten stoned in her village in her life because they had stepped out on a husband or because they had entered into premarital sex. It was like the level of surrender that she was walking in to say, I'm your servant. Let it be to me. You know, something I love is that she was able to see the magnitude of the honor over the very real pain and hardship and shame that that honor would bring her. That honor the Lord was giving her by giving her this assignment to carry Jesus was the biggest honor any woman could ever. I mean, we say, oh, above all women, you are honored. But that very honor was also going to be her shame. Now, she knew it was a shame she didn't have to carry. But probably for the rest of her life, there were murmurs about how things got started with her and Joseph. Well, you know, she did get pregnant before they got married. In America, that's like no big deal. In there, it means stoning and a smear on your character and reputation for the rest of your life. And she said, let it be unto me. I would rather carry this assignment the Lord has given me. I would rather carry this honor of bearing his name and bearing this son than any amount of shame this world can put on me. This is something every single one of us need to think about and embrace, because carrying the name of Christ causes scorn in this life. There are times in this world people are not going to celebrate your choice to be wholehearted. They're not going to think it's great. They're not going to applaud you. It hurts my heart the way culture has, over the last few decades, has turned and become like this hatred towards Christianity. It hurts my heart. It does. It hurts my heart for our nation even. How Christians are oftentimes the butt of jokes in movies and, you know, just it's so icky. And also seen as even haters when we're, so many times we're the lovers. But guys, we have to get to a point where that doesn't bother us, because the honor of carrying the name of Christ is so much greater than any amount of shame that the world would want to put on us or on our assignments that we have. And Mary, again, by the time she was 15, she had it. She was like, I would rather be chosen by God than chosen by the world any day. I'd rather have the approval of one than the approval of thousands. Do you think her parents believed her? Would you, as a godly parent, believe your daughter if she had that story? I'm sure not. Probably for sure at first. At least they didn't. She was engaged to Joseph, a godly man. He didn't believe her. But because he was kind, he didn't really want to see her stoned. So he said, I won't accuse her. We'll just kind of try to sweep it under the rug. If I don't accuse her of unfaithfulness, she can't be stoned. That's how the story goes. And so he says, I'm just going to, they call it, put her away quietly. You know, I'm going to divorce her. They weren't married yet. They were engaged. But it was so serious, breaking an engagement, that it was called a divorce. And then the angel appeared to him, of course. How relieved was Mary? Another soul on the earth that believes me. I mean, she had one at least. I mean, wow. God is so faithful to her. She was walking in so much trust and faith in God's word, though. I love what God did here. It's like he was so gracious to her. He also tells her right in the middle of the story, he says, by the way, Mary, your cousin Elizabeth, the elderly woman that's barren and couldn't conceive all her life, I just want you to know she's pregnant with the prophet that's going to go before your king that you have in your womb. She's in her sixth month. And what does it say in the scriptures? It literally says the next day Mary got up and left and went to see Elizabeth. You guys, they didn't have mail. They didn't have email. They didn't have a phone. Mary didn't know that Elizabeth was pregnant. Elizabeth lived in a different part of the country. But Mary got up immediately the next day and she says, I just need confirmation. I just need confirmation. I just need to confirm. This is a big word. I'm a little servant girl from a town of Nazareth, which is despised on the map even. And an angel just came and said, I was going to give birth to a king. And I wasn't going to ever have slept with my husband. It's going to be God's going to be his father. But he also said, the impossible is also happening. Your cousin's got the prophet in her womb. And he, this is so beautiful. She gets up. These women are amazing in the story. Verse 38, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. A few days later, very quickly, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. God is confirming. He's confirming in this moment. Mary, you're going to need the strength to carry this thing through. I want to confirm it for you. Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry, and she exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women. Your child is blessed. Mary is like 2 days conceived. Seriously, the angel came to her like 2 days before. Nobody knows, okay? But God knows and now is prophesying through Elizabeth, who's standing there, elderly Elizabeth, who was past childbearing years. You guys all know how it works. 6 months pregnant. Keep losing my place. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. And Elizabeth says, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed. Why? Because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. I read this and I'm like, if Mary could believe that she had conceived by the Holy Spirit and was carrying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in her womb, surely I can believe God for a harvest in here on South Dakota. What are the promises God has given you? I mean, I think we can be so challenged by the life of Mary. If this 15-year-old could believe for this level of impossible and go through this much shame and embarrassment and public, you know, public scorn to carry out the promise, to believe God, to trust him in faith, then surely each of us can believe the words that God has spoken to us. The one who has given the promise is faithful. He is faithful to fulfill the promise, just like he was faithful to Mary. One more thing I just want to pull out of Mary's life. There's so much, but I limited myself to five. Mary stewarded the prophetic words and the storyline of Jesus. She just treasured, in fact, the word was treasured over and over. It says in the storyline, it'll say, and Mary treasured these things in her heart. She was carrying the storyline in her, the prophetic story of the Lord. Not only did she carry the Son of God and give birth and raise Jesus, but she was carrying all the prophecies that were spoken over him. Going on into chapter 2, we see that when he was 8 days old, they took him to the temple, took him to Jerusalem to be circumcised. And everywhere he went, like, God was just confirming his identity. And so they walk into the temple, and Simeon, this righteous old man, comes up to them and just, like, immediately knows that this little itty-bitty baby, probably hundreds of babies filing in and out of the temple to get circumcised and to have the sacrifice. They had to give a sacrifice for the firstborn. I mean, there's all this law that they go through. So it's not uncommon for families with babies to come in. In fact, it happened every time a baby was born. Look at this, though. Okay. Sorry, I'm finding it. 51, I think. Yeah. Okay, so at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. So this man was amazing. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, that alone is amazing. We should all want to be like Simeon too. He had like eyes to see what nobody else was seeing at that time. That day, the Spirit led him into the temple. That's pretty cool. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall." Is that not true? "But he will be a joy to many others." Is that not also true? Wow. "He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him." I mean, she didn't know how this thing was going to play out. "As the result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." And we know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was at the cross. I mean, we can't even imagine how her soul was pierced in that moment, watching her son suffer. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel in the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. This is just a side point. Those that live a life of fasting and prayer can see what God's doing in the moment. It's just one of those things. If you will decide you're going to live a life of fasting and prayer, you won't miss the next move of the Lord. You won't. She was so set apart. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about that child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee, where the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom and favor from God. And somehow I missed, oh yeah, and down in 51. And his mother stored up all these things in her heart. It actually says it multiple times after the shepherds came too and the wise men. She treasured these things. How do you think we ever learned about his story? How do you think it ever ended up in the Word? There were, of course, Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit uses people. How did the story ever get told? How did anyone ever hear about her alone experience with an angel and what he said, and her very private experience with her cousin Elizabeth and what was prophesied? How did anyone ever know that they went into the temple and there was this great old man, Simeon, who had eyes to see, and Anna came along? How is this story? How was it able to get written down as word? She treasured it. She's like, I care so much about every part of this story. I'm not going to forget a thing. Every word the Lord is speaking is going to get written down in my journal. I don't know how it all worked. She treasured it, it says. She stored it up. She mulled over it. It's retold because she treasured it and retold it. That's how it got retold. Nobody else knew about that experience with Gabriel. When God speaks to us, when he takes time to give you a dream, oh, I encourage you, treasure it. Grab a hold of it. Don't forget it. Write it down. Store it up in your heart. Mull over his promises in his word. This is your prophetic storyline. Each of us have our own storyline with the Lord. We don't want to forget the important things God says to us, right? She stored these up. I mean, who knows? Maybe when Luke, Dr. Luke, was it says Luke is the one that wrote the book of Luke. He was not one of the 12 disciples. He was a doctor. He had traveled with Paul, the apostle. And it says at the very beginning of Luke, he's writing and he's saying, I decided that I would seek out and research, basically. He's like got one of those minds, those researching minds. And I myself wanted to write an account of the story of Christ. So he went and interviewed people, firsthand information. What if he sat down with Mary and said, tell me everything? And she's like, it's wild. I remember it all, though. I didn't forget a thing. I treasured it all. I was just a 15-year-old girl. I was from a nothing town, just a servant, lowly. And the angel came to me and said, I was highly favored. I mean, she treasured these things. Mary, just like every mom in here, you betcha she was the first one to begin to speak the identity into Jesus Christ himself. He sat on her lap and guaranteed, she said, let me tell you the story of your birth. You're not just any old king, any old child. We're keeping you separate for a reason. I'm teaching you the scriptures for a reason. The Lord said you're going to rule Israel. I'm sure she was thinking earthly throne, which he will be on an earthly throne too when he returns. Wow. I'm so challenged by that. I don't steward everything God says to me perfectly. And sometimes I do really, really good, and then sometimes I'm like, whoa, didn't God speak to me about something a couple weeks ago about this certain thing, and I didn't write it down. I thought I would never forget it. Then I did. And then I'm like, no, I'm going to write everything down, or I'm voice recording it on my phone. I don't want to forget it. So if you're one of those that you ebb and flow in how you do, sign up again. Just today, go, I'm going to sign up. I'm treasuring God's word. I'm treasuring his word, the Bible, but I'm also treasuring his spoken words to me, his promises to me. If you're like me, it's like he'll give you some amazing revelation. You're like, oh, revelation in his word. You're like, this is amazing. It's changing my life. I'll never forget it. And then it's kind of like it starts in your head and it just sort of seeps down, running out your toes. And about 2 months later, 6 weeks later, you're like, I can't even remember that God told me he ever loved me. Write it down. It helps you. It helps you to treasure and to remember the promises and the wonderful words that God speaks to you. Do you want to have a merry heart? Yeah, I do too. Why don't you stand up right now? I encourage you this week to study the Christmas passages. It's very challenging to look at passages in the Bible that are very familiar to us and to receive from the Lord. I don't know why that is, but there's something about familiarity with passages that sometimes you hear all the time. You're like, oh yeah, and Mary and Joseph, oh, they did this, and then the shepherds came. And when you're reading the story, you're seeing like little nativity sets being acted out and little five-year-olds in angel costumes and little four-year-olds playing Mary and Joseph. If you're American church, you've seen this, right? This cute little thing that sometimes happens on Christmas when we have these little nativity plays. It's sweet. I love it. But we have to ask the Lord to show us fresh revelation of the stories, because they're not just stories, right? And to help us to take what's familiar but yet maybe hasn't changed our life and help us to break off the familiarity and enter into a new wonder. It's like we want to be like little children having heard the story for the first time. The wonder of God becoming flesh and living a perfect life and going to the cross and then being resurrected 3 days later. This is a story that changed the world in eternity. It's literally changed eternity for millions of people who now have salvation through this child, who's not a child, he's not a baby in a manger anymore, is he? That's right. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we just raise our hands to you. And Lord, we just say we want to learn from this story, Lord. We're so grateful for the sacrifice that you made, that you were willing to become a human being. The ultimate act of humility. You, glorious one, Jesus Christ, the fairest one, the most beautiful, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And God, we want to live lives that are highly favored before your eyes, Lord. We do. We want to live a life that's consecrated and pure and holy, Lord. We want to live lives that are set apart. We want to position our hearts, even going into 2020, to receive the assignments that are closest to your heart, Lord. When you look over the earth and you're like, there's certain things I want to do right now in the earth. I'm looking for a faithful one, a trustworthy friend. I want you to find the trustworthy friends here at JRC, Lord. God, would you help us in this? Would you help us, Lord, to find our identity in you, to walk in surrender and trust and faith, and to steward the words that you give us well, to believe them. Lord, we just love you. We're responding to your word. And we're saying, God, we want it to transform our heart, our mind, and our soul. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord.